All right, so we get this matchup, and I entirely looked at it differently if we had had an outcome other than what we experienced on Saturday night from Rupp Arena. If Tennessee had gone in and knocked off Kentucky, I really felt like this could be an interesting trap game for Vanderbilt, as Tennessee also looking ahead to a game coming up on Saturday on the road in Baton Rouge. I was alluding to what Tennessee did earlier this year in January when they started their SEC run with a blowout victory over Georgia. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but I'm thinking when you've got a talented team that, you know, their character has been questioned, their teamwork has been questioned, that's usually an angry team, and I don't think this is the team that Vanderbilt wanted to face tonight in Knoxville.
Well, you're right. I see this going one of two ways. That option number one, like you just mentioned, Tennessee comes out incredibly angry and just blows the doors off the building and wins by 25, 30 points. I mean, they're favored by 18. And like you said, I'm sure they've been hearing the last couple of days that maybe they were overrated and their schedule is soft and they weren't that good in the first place, and a little bit of a reality check, and they come out and just play lights out. Now, option two, which I think is incredibly less likely, is they allow two losses or one loss to become two. That's a coach phrase we've heard a long time. Do they come out sluggish? Are they still thinking about that Kentucky loss? Are they disinterested because it's Vanderbilt and it's not UK? And like you said, they got LSU coming up. Is that possible? Sure. Is it likely? Probably not. But to me, that's probably the way this game will go tonight. Either just a big-time blowout by Tennessee, or they're still feeling the hangover effects from that Kentucky loss.
We look back at Saturday, and once again, another situation for Vanderbilt in the waning moments of a conference game with the opportunity to win if they make enough plays. But once again, same scenario. Vanderbilt now 0-12 in conference play. They didn't finish in the final minutes. And then you look at the box score, same-o, over twice the number of turnovers, then assist, and it's that same recipe. That's not going to get you victories in the conference.
No, and, you know, it's one of those things where the defense has gotten a little bit better over the past few weeks, but all of a sudden the ball handling is going out the window. The free throw shooting's gotten a little bit better over the past couple weeks, but they can't make shots all of a sudden from the field. It's just they can't seem to put every single little aspect and facet of the game together to play well. And like Bryce Drew has said over and over, the margin for error is just so thin in a very, very difficult league. That, you know, if you're Tennessee and you have a few turnovers, you could probably afford that because you got some guys who can step up and make some shots. But when you're Vanderbilt, when you don't make your free throws, that kills you. When you turn the ball over, that kills you. When you have just one guy, a freshman, Aaron DeSmith, who's stepping up night in, night out, that's going to kill you. They have to get some guys to complement this young rising star, and that hasn't happened either. So everything is just kind of snowballing. I mean, it probably actually snowballed a long time ago, right? But that snowball just continues to get bigger and bigger.
You know, here's the thing, and I don't care what sport we're talking about, but when I hear a coach that's losing, a coach that's in going through a long losing streak or whatever, I don't want to hear compliments about effort, because there's certain things that you can control. You can't control the outcome of a game. If the other team is just better, that's going to be the case. If you don't make plays, you know, you're not going to win games, et cetera. I get that. But there's certain things that you control that you only time you need to bring them up when your team is not doing it. And what I'm talking about is, you know, from a standpoint of being prepared, effort and attitude. Those are things that should be given night in and night out. And whether we're talking about this basketball team for Vanderbilt or a football team or whatever the case may be, and it just really bugs me when I hear Bryce Drew always complimenting the effort for his team. Because the only time I want to hear it when you're losing like this is when it's not there.
And you know, I might disagree with Bryce Drew. From what I've seen, I don't know if the effort has been there completely from every single player on that roster for 40 minutes, night in and night out. You know, he may be standing up there protecting his guys a little bit, but I think you've seen certain players who have gone out there and maybe, you know, we're not into the game completely when it comes down to effort and focus. I mean, look at the turnovers, look at the missed shots, look at, you know, some of the plays. I believe it was the game last week against Auburn. It was a 4-point game, and you know, Vanderbilt runs down immediately, turns the ball over, and it's just like it makes you scratch your head. Like, you know, some of these guys just don't seem to be you know, on the same page as the rest of their teammates. So, you know, perhaps Bryce Drew is sitting up there at postgame and just, you know, he's not going to come out and blast his players publicly. It's just not his style. I mean, maybe he needs to, but he's just not going to do that. That's just who he is. And so I think maybe behind closed doors, he's probably getting in on to him about that stuff, but it's just not in his toolbox to come out there and kind of blast his guys on the public stage. And but I don't know if I agree with him. I think some of the guys just haven't given their all night in and night out.
But here's the thing. If that's indeed the case, and meaning that they're not, as you just pointed out, you don't believe all the players are giving their full efforts, then that's on the coach. That's right there firmly on the lap of Bryce Drew. And so how many people do you know is going to publicly say, I'm the problem here. It's not the players. I'm the problem because they're not performing where they need to as far as doing the things that, once again, they can control, being prepared, providing the effort.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. And it's kind of a catch-22, right? If Bryce Drew goes out there and blames his players for not giving effort, well, then it's on him for not getting them prepared and not getting them motivated. So it's a very tough situation. Obviously, it's all magnified because they've lost 13 in a row and 0-12 in the SEC and are in the midst of what's probably going to end up being one of the worst seasons in the history of Vanderbilt basketball. It says a lot. So there's got to be a lot of soul-searching, I think, from Bryce Drew and his staff, not only here coming up toward the end of February, but in the offseason and moving forward, because we all know Darius Garland, you know, going down with an injury was a huge blow to this team, but was it 0-12 bad? You know, was it, you know, a 13 game, probably 14 after tonight bad? I don't think anybody expected that. Somewhere along the line, changes had to be made. They have not been made to this point, and that's going to be a big emphasis in the offseason if things continue to go the way they're going right now.
I got asked yesterday by a talk show host over in Knoxville whether or not Bryce Drew is safe for after this year. And I actually said, you know, I don't see any way that he gets fired after this year based on just what happens with this team per se. Now, next year is a different story. Do you buy into that as well? Or could there be that slight percentage that maybe a change is necessary?
I'm with you. I think the big X factor is Malcolm Turner, the new athletic director. Does he come in and say, you know, I'm the new guy in town and you can't go winless in the SEC and, you know, I didn't hire you and we're going to go a different direction. Now, on the flip side, he could say, I'm the new guy. I didn't hire you. Let me fill you out for one more full year. You got three outstanding recruits coming in. Theoretically, you got a couple stars coming back and Aaron E. Smith and Timmy Chatu and even Saban Lee, you throw him in there. I'm with you. I think he deserves yet another year, and I think he'll get one because that Vanderbilt has a new athletic director who will sit back and watch and say, you know, it can't get any worse than 2018, 2019 did, but you have to improve. You have to show improvement. You have to get some more big-time players in here and try to move toward the middle of the pack to the SEC and not finish where you did this past year.
Well, and the other part about it, too, when we think about the basketball background, that's the part we don't know how that could impact Malcolm Turner's decisions moving forward, not just with men's basketball, but women's basketball as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, I remember someone asked Malcolm Turner a question, you know, his connections with the NBA, with the NBA G League, his background with professional basketball. I mean, you know, Bryce Drew has those connections as well, but, you know, how much will Malcolm Turner rely on maybe some of his connections in the professional basketball world, in the college basketball world, to understand what Bryce Drew is fighting or maybe where he's not succeeding, and how will that affect the program moving forward? I think Malcolm Turner obviously understands what Vanderbilt basketball is and what it was and what it can be. And I don't think he'll think that, you know, winless season in the SEC is acceptable. I don't think anybody will. So that'll be an incredibly interesting discussion in the summer and then going into next fall because, you know, the way this year has gone, I think it's pretty obvious that next year, if Bryce Drew is still the coach, we don't have any problem saying, right, that'll be the make or break season for Bryce Drew and his tenure.
Over the weekend, all 14 teams in the SEC launched and started their college baseball season. 13 of the 14 were 500 or better. In fact, 12 of the 14 were above 500 for the weekend. Vanderbilt, number one preseason ranking, along with, of course, LSU. When you look at the five or six services that are out there, Vanderbilt, despite the loss on Sunday, still maintain a number one ranking in two of those polls. As far as what they had to do on the weekend, I mean, two of these three opponents were ranked in the top 20. I thought it was a nice start. You know, the fact that they showed some positive things on Friday and Saturday, because easily when you look at what could have happened over the weekend, they could have easily started off 0-3 just based on the competition. Getting off to the 2-1 start, a nice way to establish a foundation for this year.
I'm with you. I was just blown away by Vanderbilt offensively. I mean, 29 runs in those first two games. Yeah, you know, they beat up a down Virginia program, but to come out against Cal State Fullerton and do what they did, you know, those scores I don't think are indicative to how dominant Vanderbilt was in those first two nights. I mean, you know, the opponents, Cal State Fullerton and Virginia, put up some runs against some Vandy relief pitching, which will get stronger as the year goes on. And then they faced a ranked TCU team, which is obviously very good. And Kumar Rocker, the big-time freshman, had his first college start and was not very good. But, of course, he'll be better over time. So for them to put up those numbers offensively, I think, is a huge sign because usually the offense, you know, trails the defense in baseball. And for those guys to come out there swinging the bats as hot as they did, that could be a really, really dangerous lineup for the rest of the year.
I like the fact, you know, yesterday visiting with Tim Corbin in our weekly visit, we were talking about this week. It looks like they're going to have to dodge the rain a little bit tomorrow and maybe even Friday. And, you know, he kind of welcomes that. It's the first time I really have heard a coach ever talk about it from that perspective. He likes his players to be challenged. You know, life is not all about all sunny skies day in and day out. And he likes the fact that the focus has to be there, especially when they're playing games when it has a little bit of a light rain or whatever the case may be. I like that attitude moving forward for this team.
Oh, no doubt, right? I mean, they come into the year. You're number one. You're the best team in the world. You're going to the College World Series. And I think probably the last team that Tim Corbin won was to have his guys thinking it's going to be a cakewalk. So where do the challenges come from? Obviously, opening weekend was a huge challenge. But now maybe through some rain delays or facing some non-conference opponents maybe they're not too familiar with, and maybe they get down, you know, early in one of those games. So, yeah, challenges are going to be great for that team because, honestly, I think for a while it's going to be hard to find those challenges because they're so good and they're going to be playing some lesser competition here over the next couple of weeks before they get into SEC play. So, yeah, that totally makes sense to me for a team that's got some veteran leadership and has got a ton of talent. Let's see where they get challenged. Let's see how they respond to adversity.
You know, when you look at most of the ranking services, most of them have at least eight teams from the SEC ranked in the top 20 in the nation. So once they get to conference play, week in and week out, they're going to be certainly challenged in the SEC.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, what a fun, cool year in the SEC, not only, you know, for Vanderbilt, but the rest of the league. I mean, weekend, like you said, every single weekend will be incredibly fun for a fan to go out there to down, you know, the west end of Nashville and watch great baseball. You know, everybody talks about the Nashville Sounds, but shoot, I mean, Vanderbilt's got its own little minor league team over there, right? You can just sit in the stands and say, you know, that guy's going to be in the league one day, and so will that guy, and look at all the guys that have come through this program. And then you go look at the other dugout, and you can say the same thing. So I think it's really cool for the city to have a great baseball team like Vanderbilt, but also be playing a ton of great teams every time they're home every weekend. I think it's a really cool. The SEC is just so dominant in baseball to have that opportunity for folks who live around town.
By the way, one more question, Chad, before we let you go. Tonight, with a loss, Vanderbilt, besides losing its 14th straight game, it will tie the longest losing streak in program history. You have to go back 83 years to 1936. The only other time when Vanderbilt lost 14 consecutive games, and they can certainly pass that. If they lose tonight, they have the opportunity to pass that coming up on Saturday when they go on the road to take on Alabama.
I know, right? It's wild. I mean, to think that you have to go back to the, I think it was the end of the 34-35 season and the start of the 35-36 season, or maybe I'm a year off.
No, you got it exactly, yeah. Right, so.
And that's the last time they lost 14 in a row. And I think their worst record in the SEC ever was a 2-14, or maybe it was a 2-10 mark. And there's only been two teams since the 70s who have gone 1-17. So they're up against a lot of dubious history, not only tonight, but moving forward. Time is running out for this team to win some SEC games and not to go down in history. Like I said, one of the worst teams in program history, but the schedule continues to be tough. You know, four of the last six are on the road, starting with tonight. It's a tough sell to see if this team can get some momentum before the tournament.